Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly with you for the next 2 hours or so before Phillies Rockies will have leading off coming up at 7:30 tonight. This hour brought to you by Xfinity Mobile, sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. The Wi-Fi is booming. Unlock faster, secure speeds at home and on the go only from Xfinity Mobile. As I said, leading off coming up at 7:30. Plenty to get into. Before then, we have some juicy Sixers rumors we need to talk about. Big week for the Eagles. Nick Sirianni, contract extension. That happened earlier today. Get into all these things over the course of the next hour and a half or so. But where we need to start is with the big news of the weekend. And it broke while I was on yesterday down at the ballpark alongside Al Morgani. Jose Alvarado, 80-game suspension. This was kind of out there on Saturday night a little bit. I'll give credit to fellow employer at WIP, Alex Call, who does some producing. He had mentioned that he heard something in regards to Jose Alvarado maybe getting suspended. Comes down on Sunday morning, and we'll get to all of this, every aspect of it, as far as the Jose Alvarado part of it. Extremely disappointed. This is 100% Alvarado's fault. We'll get more into that. But the big question in the immediate future here is, what do the Phillies do? What do you do right now to strengthen and secure this bullpen? Because you're shorthanded in the pen, especially from the left side. You have Matt Strom. Tanner Banks, let's face it, he's more of a mop-up guy than a real piece that you can rely on in any kind of a real strenuous, high-leverage situation. And we talked about it yesterday. And the more I've thought about it, the more I believe there's only one real option for the Phillies. And it is in the best interest of the team to move Ranger Suarez to the bullpen, and it's in the best interest of the team to do it right now. And I want to know if you agree. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. Do you agree? Do you believe it's in the best interest of the Phillies right now to move Ranger Suarez to the bullpen immediately? And I've been thinking about it. I've been trying to find ways around this because Ranger is a great starter. And you look at two of his three starts, his last two times out, he's been outstanding. Really made one bad pitch in his start on Friday night, but was really good otherwise. But I look at the situation the Phillies have in front of them right now. I don't know what other option you do have. The guys in the pen right now are not good enough. Bottom line, you have one lefty you can rely on in Matt Strom. And I'd say based on how they pitched this year, Jordan Romano is the only righty. I wouldn't have said that a few weeks ago, but it feels like he's turned a corner. He looked great again yesterday. Romano's gotten to the point where I trust him in big spots. That's two guys. You have nobody else. And hey, I respect Taijuan Walker, the way he's worked. He's gotten back into shape. He had one real good relief appearance. Let's face it, Taijuan Walker's not a reliever. He doesn't have that skill set. I don't think he's going to magically become like a high leverage back end of the bullpen guy for you. I don't believe he'd be effective in that role. And I think of all your starters, because let's look at where the Phillies are right now. They have a surplus of starting pitching, and they are shallow in the bullpen. Really, the only thing that you can do is convert a starter. And I think of all your starters right now, Ranger would be the most effective. And it's what makes the most sense for a number of reasons. First off, we've seen him do this before. Like, we've seen Ranger Suarez come out of the bullpen before. We saw him do it in the 2022 playoffs. Obviously, that year, he's the guy who came out. He closed out Game 5 against the Padres, sent the Phillies to the World Series. So he's got that experience. We've seen him do it before. Another thing, he's left-handed. That's another plus. You look at the guys in the bullpen. You look at what you got on the left side. You look at what you got on the right side. You need a lefty more than anything. As I said, Matt Strom's really the only lefty that you can count on after this loss of Alvarado. And while Ranger's left-handed, that'll help, he's not just a lefty specialist. Like, he's not a guy you say, okay, we'll bring him in only against a certain, you know, pocket of the lineup. No, Ranger Suarez, he can pitch against anybody in the lineup. He's a starter. He can pitch against lefties, can pitch against righties, can get hitters out from either side of the plate. That's another plus. He's not a one-trick pony. He can get outs in different ways. Can get fly ball outs. Can get ground outs, which is his bread and butter. Gets good strikeout numbers. So I look at that part of it. And more than anything, though, when you look at Ranger, I look at his demeanor. Because you look at pitchers, they are largely creatures of habit. Pitchers, for the most part, they're very regimented in what they do. And, you know, a little change can change them dramatically, and it would impact them dramatically. I don't think Ranger fits into that box, though. Like, he's the kind of guy where nothing really bothers him. So I think you could move Ranger to the bullpen. I think he could adapt pretty quickly. Now, could there be a little bit of an adjustment period? Fine. But he's as calm and relaxed as anyone. I think he could do it effectively. Now, here was Dave Dombrowski when asked about whether this is a possibility, whether the Phillies at this point would consider moving Ranger to the bullpen.
I get asked about Ranger a lot in the bullpen. He said a few weeks ago we haven't really talked about that. Is that something you'll start talking about now?
I'm not going to speculate on that type of stuff. I don't know. It just all just happened, so I don't know what. I doubt that we're going to touch our start pitching at this time. Our five starters. I doubt that, but I don't want to make any definitive because it just happened.
Now, I get this isn't ideal. Like, this is not what I would have preferred. A week ago, we're having this conversation, which we were. I was against this. Like, the idea has been broached before. I didn't want to do it because, again, Ranger is a great starter. He's really good in that spot. To have a guy like that in your starting rotation is extremely valuable. But at this point, I don't think you have a choice. He provides more value to you in the bullpen, where you don't have many guys you can trust, where you can use them, I don't know, three out of every five or six games, rather than being in a spot where you can just use them once every 5 days. You don't have the time. You don't have the luxury right now to keep Ranger Suarez in the rotation. And Jose Alvarado, man, it's a massive loss in the bullpen. I don't trust Orion Kerkering. I don't trust Tanner Banks. I don't trust any of these other guys. Carlos Hernandez, Jose Ruiz, whoever you want to give me. I don't trust that. I trust Matt Strom, and I'm gaining trust in Jordan Romano. But I fear that if the Phillies hesitate, if they don't do this, the bullpen is going to cost them games regularly. And you look at where you are in the standings, you look at this division. In this division, you can't afford to mess around here. I mean, you're a half game behind the Mets. The Braves, who had a horrendous start to the season, they've already gained a lot of ground. They're a really good team. You look at the NL West, there are three really good teams out there. Some of the teams in the Central are playing better than expected, the Cubs and Brewers chief among them. You're not guaranteed to make the playoffs here. Ranger Suarez is valuable in the rotation, but right now, he's more valuable in the bullpen. I think you need to move him. I think you need to move him right now. I think it's where he'd be the most useful, and I want to know if you agree. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494 if you'd like to join the show. We'll get to the phones in a few minutes here. But Luke Nichols, producing the show tonight, what do you think, Luke? Are you on board? Do you think this is something the Phillies should do right now, move Ranger to the bullpen?
I don't think so. I don't think it would work out. I don't think it would ever really happen. I mean, Dombrowski immediately shot it down. I get that he said, you know, it's very early to really make this kind of decision, but that doesn't seem like something that they want to do with Ranger, being that he is starting to find his groove as a starter. And he's going to be a free agent at the end of this year. He's not going to cost himself money. Scott Boras is for sure not going to cost him money. So if you do move him to the bullpen, you're probably going to have to pay him, and there's no chance the Phillies want to pay Ranger Suarez. I think at this point, you're kind of stuck where you have to have him as a starter, and you just have to hope that Taijuan Walker can give you something out of the bullpen, at least until, you know, Aaron Nola gets back, then you put him in the lineup, and then as of right now, Taijuan Walker starting. So it feels like they're in a really bad spot to where even if you put Ranger in the bullpen, it kind of feels like the stuff that he has, he's got, you know, the fastball, sinker, changeup, all that, it's good, but he doesn't really have that electric stuff that Alvarado had. Like, Alvarado's coming out of the bullpen and he's throwing 100, he's throwing 99, he's throwing these wicked curveballs every now and then that just it just keeps the batters off balance. Ranger's coming in, he's not really going to change that too much for these batters, so maybe coming out of the bullpen for him wouldn't even work out that great for him at this point. Like, I think where he's best is as a starter, and our strength as a team is this starting rotation, so I don't want to take away from that just to try to fix something that has been a hole even before Alvarado got suspended.
No, it's a good point, and this is the thing. Like, I don't want to do it either. I just feel like you're in a position where you need to do it. Like, I don't know where the answers are coming from if you don't move Ranger at this point.
Yeah, that's the tricky part, where you need to try something, but the Ranger thing, it just doesn't seem like it would even happen to me, because they would approach him about it, And he probably either wouldn't know what to say or just play it off as like, yeah, we'll see. Tell Scott Boras, and then Scott Boras is on the first flight to Philadelphia.
No, that's a good point. And if you want to get in, 215-592-9494, but that's a good point that Luke raises there, because it is a significant hurdle when it comes to Ranger being his contract year. Certainly not the best time for him to move, and the Scott Boras element of it absolutely makes it more complicated. I mean, I'm sure Ranger's not going to like this. I'm sure Scott Boras isn't going to like this. And you can say, sure, well, who cares? The reality is Scott Boras is a very powerful person, not just agent, but powerful person in Major League Baseball. That's a relationship that you don't want to harm. And honestly, when I look at this situation, man, I put this on Dave Dombrowski. And here was Ranger Suarez a few weeks ago through Phillies interpreter Diego Daniello when asked about this possibility and whether he would move the bullpen.
Obviously, it's going to depend on the context. That's a tough one, but I obviously want to be in the rotation all the time. I want to be starting pitching like a starter all the time. But if it's for the team's sake, if it's to win something, if it's to get the World Series, then I'm willing to do anything.
And it doesn't sound like he wants to move there. I think the way that question was answered was like, okay, well, yeah, if they need me to move for like the playoffs and it's to win a World Series, I'll do that. But I get why Ranger wouldn't want to move. I don't blame him. And even though I can't stand the guy, I don't blame Boras. And this was the whole issue as I saw it at the time with the Phillies offseason. Because the big move that they made was Jesus Luzardo. And Luzardo has been tremendous. And nobody at the time, nobody now, would argue that that was a bad move. It wasn't a bad move. Luzardo is tremendous. But he's a very good starting pitcher. My issue is that starting pitching was never the Phillies' need. And this is where the offseason just didn't add up to me. The bullpen was a much bigger need. And now you're in this weird position where you have a surplus of starting pitchers, whether it's in the big at the big league level as well as the minor league level. You have a lot of guys who you could bring up and start games for you. And you have very few who could come out of the bullpen. And it's a weird position to be in. And here was Eduardo Perez earlier on ESPN talking a little bit about the position the Phillies are in with their pitching staff.
He was their constant. He was actually their north when it comes to the bullpen and locking down games. And now they're going to have to look and see what's out there, and maybe have to make moves that they did not want to make. Maybe have to get some of the top prospects, if it's in the minor leagues, and convert them into relievers. It's going to be interesting to see what happens now with the Phillies, especially in this division, where Ronald Acuna and Spencer Strider are also coming back for the Braves.
Now, the Phillies' messaging has been consistently that they don't want to do that, that they don't want to convert any of these guys, whether it's Painter, whether it's Abel, to the bullpen, even if it's just for 1 year, which I understand. But that's why, from a roster construction standpoint, it just didn't make a ton of sense to me. Like, especially if your plan was not at some point to convert any of these guys. And from what we gather, obviously, the Ranger situation, as we talked about here in the first segment, with the Scott Boras element, that always kind of seemed like it would be a difficult thing to do early in the season. They don't want to move Painter. They don't want to move Abel. Well, then, where was the foresight here when it came to this situation playing out? And I get you don't want to move him, but you know in the offseason you have Abel coming, you have Taijuan Walker. This was a completely predictable situation, and this is something they should have planned for regardless of Alvarado. Like, I don't look at it and say, oh, well, this is not something the Phillies ever could have planned for. Even with Jose Alvarado, you were shorthanded in the bullpen. You didn't have enough guys that you could trust. There were never enough slots in the rotation for all of the starting pitchers you had. And if Dave Dombrowski didn't plan for this, honestly, this obvious eventuality, that's on him. And I was thinking about it before the show here. And I feel like it was kind of an arrogant approach the way the Phillies came into this season. And I don't think it's totally dissimilar from what the Sixers did last season. And just hear me out for 1 second. Because Daryl Morey built a team under the assumption that we'll be in the playoffs. Like, we'll walk to the playoffs.
Yep, 100%.
We'll figure it out then. Does it not feel like the Phillies kind of built this team the same way? Like, oh, we'll get to the playoffs and we'll figure it out. If we need to move a couple starters in October, we'll move a couple starters in October. Well, That's not the reality of the situation you're in, man. The National League's really good. You need bullpen help now. I don't think you can wait till the end of July. And I don't know, Luke, it feels to me like Dave Dombrowski just assumed, well, we'll go, we'll win 95 games, we'll be in the playoffs, we'll figure it out then. Doesn't work that way, and I don't think it's going to work that way.
You think he assumed that they were going to lose a couple games because of their bullpen, and it's like, that's fine. I'm sure we won't lose every single game because of our bullpen. I'm sure we won't face any hardships or be backed up in our bullpen at all. I'm sure it'll be perfectly fine, and then we make a deal with the deadline. That's what it felt like the entire offseason, because they didn't do anything bullpen-related.
Their bullpen basically got worse.
It got worse. It 100% got worse. That was my main worry coming into the season. And like I just said, even with Alvarado, it's not a good bullpen. I get Romano has been better, but I still don't fully trust him. He's looked really good. I don't fully trust him. I'm with you on Strom. I trust Strom. They really needed Orion Kerkering to step up and have a better year, and he has not. He has been shaky. He's looked meh, but he's been very shaky.
And that's a lot to put on a young kid and just assume that, Orion Kerkering going into what's essentially his second season, just like, I mean, they kind of did the same thing to him going into the 2023 playoffs. We'll have the kid pitch in the major leagues for a week. Then we'll use him as, like, one of our main guys in the bullpen of the playoffs.
Yeah.
That wasn't a very good idea. And the same thing this year. He's played one full season in the major leagues, and now, he's going to be like one of our top three pieces in the bullpen. I just feel like the plan was flawed, and it feels very much to me like what the Sixers did. Like, we're going to walk through the regular season, we'll be fine, we'll figure it out when we get to the playoffs, and now you're in a spot where I don't think you can wait with the bullpen that you have. You just can't.
I just don't know what else they would do, though, because, I mean, at the deadline, relievers are always high-priced. I mean, they gave up the 7th and 12th prospects in their system for Carlos Estevez. That feels like you're going to have to give up much more than your 7th and 12th guys this year.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. I don't know what you do. The best idea I've been able to come up with, and trust me, I've been thinking of others, the best thing I can come up with is moving Ranger Suarez to the bullpen.
You don't want to trust Joe Ross more? Jose Ruiz?
I'm not a Rossman. Joe Ross is he's a nice middle reliever, but nothing more. You need some help, I would move Ranger now. Want to know if you agree. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, let's get a start on the phones with Thomas in Broomall. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, what's up? I'm hoping Daryl Morey and Dave Dombrowski having lunch somewhere together.
Well, that's the thing, Thomas. I just think you look at what the Phils did here. I think the Lizardo move in a vacuum is a great move, but from a roster construction standpoint, it just feels like this team is way too weighted towards starting pitching, and like they kind of neglected the bullpen, and now with this Alvarado suspension, they're in a really bad spot when it comes to the bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Suarez would have to move to the bullpen. I mean, with Alvarado, he really messed Ranger up. I'm not saying that, they would have put Ranger in the bullpen anyway if this didn't happen, but, it definitely hurts Ranger. But, I mean, I'm thinking, he's been a starter before, even, his contract's coming up, even if, like, I feel like any team can still use him as a starter. Does that devalue his value?
If you were to trade Ranger? Ranger?
Well, or that, or if we would have to let him go, like if we didn't pay him and he moved on from the Phillies after this year.
Well, this is the thing, Thomas. I have very little doubt the Phillies are going to let Ranger go after this year. I think that's a big part of the reason why they traded for Lizardo. He's a guy who they have a little more control over. They're going to probably let Ranger walk. The problem you run into is that Ranger and Scott Boris, they're going to want to cash in for as much as they can. And if Ranger is being moved to the bullpen, that's not something that is going to help them in contract negotiations because typically, I mean, starters, they're the ones that get the money in free agency.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, if another team needed a starter, Suarez can just be a starter for someone else. A team can sign him for starter money as a starter.
Yeah, but especially for a guy, Thomas, like Ranger, who's had some injury issues like last year. He's great the first couple months. Then as injuries isn't completely right the rest of the year, I think what teams would want to see is, he missed the first month or so of the season, but teams want to see him pitch, be a starter for 5 months, stay healthy, keep the performance consistent and even. And now, I mean, if the Phillies were to move him, this is the hurdle that you find here with Scott Boris and Ranger, is he won't be able to prove that.
Yeah, and one last thing. It's like, you know, I get it. If the pitchers in our bullpen were more were better than they are now, you know, and more reliable, then I don't know. Maybe we're not saying about this. Like, if all the pitchers we had in the bullpen were better than they are, yeah. And then are you forcing Abel? I know Abel probably got sent down today or yesterday, but are you forcing him having to come up sooner? Are you forcing Painter to come up sooner with everything going on?
Yeah, and I appreciate the call, Thomas. Thanks. I think that, like, I don't know what the situation is right now with Abel and Painter, because right now it feels like they're kind of blocked. Like, Mick Abel, I get that the Phillies had said, and they told him this going into the start yesterday, is that this is one start. You're going to start. We want to move every day, everybody back a day. Get Taiwan. Well, it was really about getting Walker an extra day of rest to where he can kind of reacclimate to being a starter, and he'll go on Wednesday and get a full week in between starts here. But I mean, I don't know, man. After seeing Mick Abel yesterday, I kind of think this guy's ready to be in the rotation. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me to have him. I don't want to say necessarily wasting away, but you have him in the minor leagues. This is a guy that pitched great yesterday. I would like to have Mick Abel up. And I think the Phillies are at a point where you need your best arms in the major leagues, whether starters or relievers. You just need the best guys on your roster. And right now, I just look at Mick Abel and Andrew Painter sitting down in AAA. And Painter, I get with Painter. You want to let him build up a little bit. You get him here in 6 weeks, whatever. But with Mick Abel, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me where when you have him at Lehigh Valley, and look at some of the guys you have in the bullpen right now. Max Lazar, Carlos Hernandez, Jose Ruiz, Joe Ross. I'd rather have Mick Abel on the major league roster than any of those guys. And to me, it's just a roster construction issue where how did Dave Dombrowski not see this kind of situation playing out? Not Alvarado getting suspended, but to a point where your pitching staff is so far weighted towards starting rather than relieving, where you just don't have enough slots for these guys.
We were so worried about Taiwan Walker just being on the roster coming into the year that we kind of overlooked the bullpen issue, where if you told me in the offseason, hey, we're going to trade, you know, Ranger or someone and bring in a better bullpen arm or two, but Taiwan Walker's going to have to make a couple starts until Painter's ready, you absolutely take that chance. I mean, he's your fifth starter at the end of the day. If he's the biggest problem in the rotation, you have a pretty good rotation. Still the best rotation in baseball, one of the best. But the Abel thing, he looked so good yesterday. And I get, like, I'm very big on you. There's absolutely no way you put Andrew Painter in the bullpen. He is your, like, prized possession as a prospect. Mick Abel looked that good. You need to have him on this team in any way.
Yeah.
Like, especially right now, you might as well just have him in the rotation, keep Taiwan Walker in the bullpen, just so you have another guy in the bullpen. I know it was a small sample size for Walker, but he looked all right, especially against the Rays.
And this may have been the plan, you know, at the beginning of the season is, okay, well, once we get to the playoffs, we only have four spots for a playoff series.
Yeah.
We'll move guys then.
Yes.
But this is the thing. Like, you can't bank on that. National League's really good. A playoff spot is not guaranteed. And now without Jose Alvarado, yeah, I'm worried about this bullpen. I'm worried about this bullpen the rest of the season. I'm worried about them getting the playoffs. You need to find a solution now. Nobody's making a trade of a high-level bullpen guy in mid to late May. It's just not happening. You need to find some kind of answer internally. And the only thing that I've been able to come up with is moving Ranger. It's not ideal, but I do think it's the best option right now. Would love to get your take. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. When we get back, we'll get to all your calls. Also, we will get to Jose Alvarado and his level of culpability in all this. That's coming up. I'm Tom Kelly with you until 8 o'clock. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP, Tom Kelly with you on this Monday night. This hour of the show is brought to you by Xfinity Mobile, sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. The Wi-Fi is booming. Unlock faster, secure speeds at home and on the go only from Xfinity Mobile. Talking about the Phillies start the show, and what do you do after this Jose Alvarado 80-game suspension? And the real killer, so Jose Alvarado suspended 80 games. Also ineligible to pitch for the Phillies in the postseason. And it's a massive blow. I mean, I think Alvarado was probably, in my mind, one of the 10 most important players on the team when you just look at how much was on his shoulders in that role as being your most reliable bullpen piece. That's what he has been so far this season, and that's what he's been a large part over the past like 3.5 years, really going back to 2022 when he had that stint early in the year where he went down to AAA, kind of got himself right, came back up, was awesome in 2022, great in 2023. Last year, around the trade deadline, mid to late July, really started to fall off. And you got to wonder whether that led to whatever happened. We'll get into a few minutes here what exactly happened with Jose Alvarado, how much culpability he bears in this whole thing. But the bottom line is, we're Phillies fans. When you look at the team, this massively hurts the team. And I don't think you have the luxury. I've heard people say, oh, just wait till the deadline, you'll get somebody then. I don't think you can wait. I mean, you have 2.5 months to get to that point. And this is another part of it, too. I don't have a ton of confidence in Dave Dombrowski to go out and get, you know, relief arms at the deadline. I was listening to the afternoon show today, and Jack and Spike were talking about it. And I heard Jack say, oh, well, you know, relievers are easy to get at the deadline. Dave Dombrowski will go get relievers at the deadline. How has that worked out for us the last 2 years? I mean, in 2023, Dave Dombrowski saw Craig Kimbrell actively falling apart and didn't go out to get anybody to take his spot. So he blew it then, and then last year, how'd that work out? When Alvarado was falling apart before the deadline, which should have been a blessing in disguise to show you, hey, we better be aggressive and really replacing this guy. You got Carlos Estevez, who gave up a home run to Francisco Lindor, that is now orbiting around the earth, that ball's still traveling right now. And you got Tanner Banks, who's a glorified mop-up guy. Tanner Banks is not a difference-making left-hander who is going to be able to take the spot of Jose Alvarado or even the spot of Matt Strom if we're just doing it that way. So that idea of, oh, well, we'll just wait and we'll get somebody at the deadline, that doesn't really fly for me either with Dombrowski because he's failed at that the last 2 years.
The Estevez move was probably the best trade he's made at the deadline, which is really saying a lot. And that was a necessary move. You had to get an actual arm. But the Tanner Banks one at the time, and even now, like, I get it, he's been okay. But it's not like he's making a major difference for the bullpen right now. Like, it felt like he just made that move just to make a move.
Right.
Just to get another left-handed, I can't speak right now, just to get a lefty in the bullpen. That's all it was. He just wanted another lefty in the bullpen.
Yeah, Tanner Banks stinks. I mean, let's be honest. Tanner Banks
is... You're not putting him in the ninth inning in a two-run game.
No, he's a borderline major leaguer. That's what he is. And Estevez, I cannot stand the, you know, kind of revisionist history when it comes to Carlos Estevez, because now that we're away from it, and Estevez is having a nice year so far this year, I've heard a lot of people say, oh, well, Estevez was pretty good last year. He's fine. Estevez was not good, okay?
No.
Every time he came out, it was a high wire act. He very rarely had a stress-free inning. You knew in the playoffs, like, nobody had confidence in that guy going in the playoffs. No. You knew when they brought him in Game 4 against the Mets, that was going to be a disaster. So no, like the moves that Dave Dombrowski's made at the deadline last year, 2 years, have not worked out. If that's what we're falling back on now, yeah, I don't feel great about that scenario.
Estevez's outings always went like pop out, guy gets on first by a walk or a base hit, ends up on second somehow, pass ball, steal, whatever, strike out. Deep fly out. Like, it was always just tough to get through that inning. It was never easy.
No, he was not very good here. And Dave Dombrowski, I don't really trust his ability to go out and get difference makers at the deadline. 215-592-9494. We'll get into Jose Alvarado and exactly what happened in a minute here. First, let's go back to the phone. Let's go to Andrew in D.C. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
No problem, man. What's going on?
There's a guy by the name of Rodney that's closed over 500 games in Hamilton right now, pitching up north of the border, that's about 48, 49 years old. So he's out there if we want to get him.
Well,
reading about him today.
Yeah, we'll see, Andrew. I mean, they need somebody, so we'll try anything at this point, I guess. What do you got?
What I wanted to talk less about the tactics of what to do this particular year, maybe even considering splitting games in half and throwing Ranger at one half of somebody's start, no matter who that might be, and then pitching him again one half of a start 4 days later so that he's technically not coming in from the bullpen as a traditional bullpen guy. But I understand all the things with Scott Boras and the free agents you may want to hire in the future. What I really want to talk about, the hypocrisy of baseball. I want to talk about the unethical and immoral things that happen across the NFL where people off the field, in some cases, do the most egregious of things. And I don't want to cherry pick a person here or a person there because I don't want to seem like I'm trying to point the finger at a person. And these guys get suspended a fraction of the time. Whereas back in the 1990s, McGuire, Sosa, Brady Anderson, all the guys where baseball looked the other way because they needed juice in the game. And now we're throwing people out because they take a weight loss drug. I'm not saying that he isn't culpable for what he puts in his body. But what I'm saying is it's absolutely absurd, absurd relative to the crime itself.
Well, Andrew, it's like, okay, when you look at it now and you compare them to what was happening, I don't know, 25, 30 years ago, sure, but this is stuff that is collectively bargained. I mean, these are things that the players have signed off on. They've agreed on with Major League Baseball. And, I mean, let's be honest about this thing here. Jose Alvarado, it's one step. He goes to the team. He tells them, I want to take this. Am I allowed to take it? They tell him yes or no. That's all he had to do. So I don't look at Jose Alvarado as any sort of a victim here.
I'm not saying that he's a victim. What I'm saying, Tom, is that the crime versus the actual consequences is not, it's not on par with what it should be relative to the other sports.
What?
I understand the collective bargaining agreement.
Right.
I get that. And I know in baseball, we're still playing free agents who hurt themselves 5 years ago. I get it. I know one sport is different than another sport, but why can't we apply a principle? This is not an immoral thing that this guy did.
But it's
not immoral.
But it's against it's against the rules. Like by definition, it's cheating, Andrew.
That can considered to be unethical. But I believe, and so did Dombrowski say, that he just made a mistake of judgment that wasn't specifically to avoid a rule. He made a mistake of judgment. Now again, I get it. I understand that they're responsible. I get it that now the situation is. But let's not paint this guy as Pelle Lindbergh wrapping his Porsche or Ferrari around a pole. Let's not say that he made an immoral choice here.
Well, no,
an immoral choice.
Well, no, and Andrew, and I appreciate the call, man. I'm not saying, like, we can debate whether it's immoral. That's not what this is about. I mean, this is totally different from the other sports. And yeah, I don't blame it. Like, if you have problems with other sports, guys doing things they shouldn't be doing off the field, getting in trouble with the law, stuff like that, and you think those penalties should be harsher, I'm not going to disagree with you. I fully disagree on that, or I fully agree on that. But this is a different situation. And it's time for What to Watch For. What to Watch For, brought to you by Xfinity Mobile, sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. The Wi-Fi is booming. Unlock faster, secure speeds at home and on the go only from Xfinity Mobile. And when it comes to this situation, I'm mad at Jose Alvarado. And I don't feel bad for Jose Alvarado at all. And I don't think any excuses should be made for him at this point. And here was Dave Dombrowski kind of giving the overview, if you haven't heard it yet, on exactly what happened, how this happened with Jose Alvarado coming up positive for PEDs.
It's not something he did knowingly. I believe that, the way he talked to me. We had our support. It's a very, basically the system is a very stringent system. It's very, because in the sense that you're responsible for what goes into your body. That's what it really comes down to. And so I know what he was doing. He was trying to take a weight loss reduction. That's what he's always been self-conscious of, his weight, and working hard on it. And something he took gave a positive result. So, ultimately it's a situation where if that happens, you're still responsible for it.
Yeah, now I hear that. I think it's BS. I mean, there's no excuse. There is no way that in this day and age where teams monitor everything, they have answers for everything, this should happen. There's no excuse. And even if it is just for weight loss, I don't care what it's for. Literally, all Jose Alvarado has to do is take it to the team. You are even thinking of taking something, you take it to the team, they have trainers, they have a medical staff, they have a support staff, and you ask, can I take this? And they will tell you whether you can take it or whether you can't take it. He clearly didn't do that, gets suspended 80 games, is now ineligible for the postseason. And I look at Jose Alvarado's future, and he has a club option for next year. So the Phillies have the option whether they want to pick it up for Jose Alvarado to return next year. And I'll say it right now, I don't think he should pitch for the Phillies again. And I want to know if you do. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. And this has nothing to do with, like, a vendetta against Jose Alvarado. What hurts is that he is a likable guy. He was a fan favorite. That's the part about this that really sucks, to be honest with you. But, okay, let's think about this situation logically, about when you could get Jose Alvarado back here. You'll get him back in what? Mid to late August? I don't need Jose Alvarado back at that point. At that point, you're going to be in a state where you're going to need to find answers for the playoffs. You're going to need to find out who can I trust, who can I not trust in the postseason in big moments. And if I can't use you in October, then I don't need you getting in the way of me finding out those answers.
He's not going to be a high leverage guy when he comes back.
Well, this is the thing. At that point, the Phillies are going to need to find out who they can realistically trust, who they can trust in big moments, who they can trust in big spots, who they can trust in the playoffs. If I can't use you in the playoffs, I don't really have a spot for you in late August and in September. And Alvarado, if he's got an option year for next season, I can't trust him going into next year after him doing this. And again, I don't think he's a bad guy. I think he made a really stupid decision. He made a really bad choice. And it is unfortunate because he is a likable guy. That's what sucks. But honestly, Alvarado can get lost as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you put your team in a really bad situation. And I can't believe that there are actually people out there defending this, saying, oh, well, it was just a weight loss drug. And I'm not saying that's what our last caller was doing, but people have been doing that, saying, oh, well, he was just trying to lose weight. You know, it's not fair to have such a harsh penalty. No, it is. This is collectively bargained. The players know exactly part of this. And I'll just say it, man. I'm not buying the story from Jose Alvarado that this is just a weight loss drug. Okay? Like, I mean, whatever it is, he obviously, like, he's coming off of one of the worst seasons of his career, certainly his worst season in Philadelphia. All of a sudden, he comes into spring training, and his stuff's back, and he looks incredible. Like, regardless of what it's for, this is something that's not allowed. And if it's not allowed, you cannot do it. This is not a gray area. This is all very black and white. This is all very cut and dry. Naivety's not an excuse. And I don't think the Phillies should bring him back. And here was Bryce Harper talking about the situation a little in the clubhouse yesterday when it came to Alvarado and kind of his reaction to it.
I mean, absolutely a tough situation. Don't know too much about it. Obviously, he took something he wasn't supposed to when got suspended, and we kind of turn the page as quick as possible so that we can kind of move on without him right now. Obviously, that's a big loss for us. I'm in our bullpen. He's one of our top arms down there, and just gotta go forward and not really worry about it.
And it is, because of whether it was intentional or not intentional, it doesn't really matter. It was a very easy thing. Would have been a very easy thing for Alvarado to get cleared and to get clarification on one way or another. He didn't bother to do it. So we can think it's intentional or not intentional or unintentional. Bottom line is he didn't do it. And I would be frustrated if I was a teammate. And here was a little more. This is from John Kruk after the game on TV yesterday, giving his perspective on it as a former player.
To me, if I was a teammate of Jose Alvarado, I would consider it a very selfish move on his part, putting the team at risk by knowing that if you got caught, you would get 80 games. If I'm a player on this team right now, I don't think I'd be real happy with him.
And I feel the exact same way. I feel like Jose Alvarado did something to hurt the team. It doesn't matter, honestly, what the reason is, whether you believe him or you don't believe him, whether it was intentional or unintentional. In this day and age, there's no excuse. Like, okay, and I know the rules are different 30 years ago, but say this stuff was banned, you know, 30, 40 years ago. And, you know, you take it and you get popped. It's not intentional. I think that's a different kind of thing. But in this day and age, you got to understand the amount, the lengths in which these organizations go for sports science, for training. This is the last thing that they ever want to happen. And if the only way it feels like this can happen is if, like, you meant for it to happen. And that's the way I feel about Alvarado.
It really, all he had to do was just make a call. He just had to get in a meeting, just show up to the facility.
You don't even need to go. Send them a picture of what you're taking.
Right.
Like, you don't even need to get off your
couch.
Don't
need to do anything. Take a picture of the bottle with all the ingredients. Say, can I take this? They probably get back to you in, what, 5-10 minutes?
Oh,
they probably
quicker
have
than
a
that.
List. They're probably going to list in their phone of what players can't take. It's probably their background.
They would send him a text message back in 30 seconds saying, do not take this until we know exactly what it is. That's how easy it is.
It's ridiculous to me. And actually, I was listening in, and I hate to give Cowboy Jim credit, but Cowboy Jim mentioned that apparently Ozempic and some of these other weight loss drugs don't contain this kind of testosterone and don't boost your testosterone like Alvarado had or whatever he was taking. Just take Ozempic. Like, what were you doing that you couldn't just take a picture? If he was so worried about his weight, take a picture of what you thought about taking. Then you get a response back. No, you cannot use this. Okay, let me find a secondary option. Hey, can I use this? Yep, you're good to go. We don't have this problem. What does that take? About 5 minutes?
To be clear, neither myself or Luke is a doctor. Do not take our medical advice.
No. Please, no.
We're not giving out medical advice on the show here. But the bottom line is, Alvarado, just. All he had to do was check with the team.
All you had to do was ask somebody.
He clearly didn't do it. And whether he meant to do it or didn't mean to do it, there's no excuse. And, you know, he deserves to pay the price. And I wouldn't bring him back. And it's not, you know, to try to punish him further. It's that at that stage of the season, when you can get him back, if he's not eligible for the playoffs, okay, we need to find out what we have here. Putting him back in and preventing the team from finding out those answers, to me, wouldn't be productive. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Joe in the Northeast. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Tom, I wanted to talk about the Ranger situation, but when I hear you say something, I have to contradict you on the reference to Carlos Estevez. You know, I think you're remembering only what happened in Game 3 and Game 4, which was, of course, that was the end of our season. But don't forget who was the manager who made that selection to bring him in. I mean, he gave up a double in Game 3 to Lindor. And he brings him back out again to give up the Grand Slam. And, Tom, this is Estevez's numbers for us. He had a 3-2 record with a 2.57 ERA. He made 20 appearances. And in 18, he finished 18 of those appearances, 6 saves. And it was a total of 21 innings. He struck out 18 guys, and he walked 7. That was the difference between his stint with the Angels, the beginning of that year. He had a 2.38 ERA. He had 34 games, and he saved 20 and only walked 5 guys. That was the beauty of him, that he didn't walk people. And again, it's the way this guy uses his bullpen. So I'm telling you that those numbers aren't. We would gladly have him back this year.
Well, Joe, I hear you. I'll just say this: my feeling as a fan watching him, I didn't feel good when Estevez came in games last year. Like, I didn't feel very good about him. I didn't think he was great. He wasn't all that impressive to me. You know, the numbers say what they say. But I just watching him, I did not have a lot of confidence in him last year.
Okay, I thought the beauty of him that he didn't walk people. When you're a reliever, you can't walk people. And that's why, you know, the Phillies have tried. I heard you say Mac Lazar. Is he up here now?
Yeah, he came up today for Abel.
Okay, because last year, he first 4 appearances, he was all right. Didn't give up any runs. And then the last half dozen, they scored off him every time. They had nobody down there in AAA in the bullpen. And they tried to convert Seth Johnson to a reliever, and that's not working out. In reference to Ranger, what are the Phillies' intentions with him? Say if he goes 12-4 this year as a starter, what are they going to be in the bidding to bring him back?
I don't know, Joe. My personal opinion, and this is I have no information on this or anything. I think they are just letting Ranger walk at the end of the year. I don't think they have any intention to bring him back.
Okay, well then, see, then they shouldn't cater to him about where, how they use him. And you know, the ideal guy to really use as a starter to the bullpen would be Lizardo. With his high velocity and all, you know, he'd be a better, if you want to say, closer than using Ranger. Ranger does have the pinpoint control, but he only throws like 94 tops. And Lizardo can, you know, could pump that up there. Well, so if you want to, go ahead.
No, yeah, Joe, and I hear you, man. I appreciate the call up against here. I just, Lizardo, I wouldn't move. I think he's been, I mean, first off, he's been so good as a starter. I think that's a move you wouldn't make at this point. And with Ranger, I'm not saying I move him and he'd be like the de facto closer. I don't think you have a de facto closer now. I think, well, it probably in most situations will be Romano. That will be the guy who's going to come out and close most games. But I think you could use Ranger, and this is kind of the beauty of him, is you could use him in a variety of ways. Like if a starter goes out early, you could bring him in. You could get multiple innings out of him. You could bring him in against really any pocket of the lineup. He can get outs in different ways. And again, it's not my ideal solution. Like, I was sitting here last week when we were having these exact same conversations about the exact same topic, saying, I don't want to move Ranger. I don't want to take away from the starting staff. I just think you're at a point now where you don't have really any great option. Like, you don't have any good option to solve this bullpen problem. Nobody's making a trade at this point in the year, especially in the age now of the expanded playoffs, where everybody still thinks they have a chance. The only teams don't think they have a chance are probably the Rockies, who you're playing tonight. They have nothing you'd want. And some of these other really bad teams, and they're not the ones that have players who could help
you. Don't want anything from the Pirates.
Exactly. So this is the problem. You just don't have options to make a trade right now. And if your only solutions are internal, and you don't want to move Painter, and you don't want to move any of the young guys, Ranger seems to be the only option. But the Scott Boras thing is an issue. You can say, who cares? You can say, okay, well, if you're not going to re-sign Ranger, who cares what he thinks? Well, you got to care what Scott Boras thinks, unfortunately. Because he's a person who wields a lot of power in Major League Baseball. And not somebody you necessarily want to get on the bad side of. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Continue talking about the Phillies. Jose Alvarado, would you move Ranger Suarez to the bullpen? And do you think Jose Alvarado should return to the Phillies? I don't. I just think by the time you're going to get him back, it'll be pointless. You're going to need to figure out who you can trust for the postseason at that point. Jose Alvarado, I feel like at that stage, would just be getting in the way of you finding out who you can rely on in the postseason, and he's got a club option for next year. Hey, I can't trust him. I wouldn't have him come back to the team. 215-592-9494. Get back to your calls. Also, do need to get to an interesting Sixers rumor that I saw earlier today. We'll get to that as well. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP, Tom Kelly with you on a Monday night, with you for another half hour here. We have Leading Off coming up at 7:30. We'll get you ready for Phillies and Rockies tonight in Colorado. And I don't know, I love the start times in Colorado more than any other start time. Like, if I had it my way, the Phillies would play at like 8:40 every single night.
Really?
Yeah. Well, this is probably, this is not something you have to worry about, Luke. But for me, like, when I'm down at the games, the earlier the better. The earlier is good. But when I'm like, after this, I'll go home. My kids typically go to bed, you know, from like the 7:30 to 8:30 range. So this is the thing.
It.
We do bedtime. We do story time, brushing the teeth, all that stuff. I miss like a lot of the game when the Phillies are at home, but now I'll get home. You know, my son might still be up, might have to help put him down to bed. But aside from that, kids will be in bed. I'll get home for first pitch. Perfect.
Yeah, you're smooth sailing.
Yeah.
I see that. I like 7:30 start times. They almost never have a 7:30 start time, but I just like that kind of 7 to 7:30 start time. 6:45 is meh. I miss when it was 7:10. Not looking forward to 10-10 in Sacramento.
Oh, that's tough.
That's going to be annoying.
That's tough.
But you're going to have plenty of time then. Well, you're going to be waiting for first pitch.
Well, this is the thing with 8:42 is like that times out also kind of well with when I go to bed. Like I'm not an early, like I'm not somebody who can go to bed at like 10:30. I can't do it. You know, the earliest I can really go to bed is like 11:30 to 12:30, somewhere in that range. So the game, it just ends at like a nice time.
That's actually, 8:40 is just like not even your sweet spot. That is the spot.
Yeah,
for
that's a good spot.
Makes
so
sense.
Enjoy that. Phil's in Colorado tonight. Should get a win. We'll have more for you in leading off. Wanted to mention, because we probably won't have time to get into this in further detail, congratulations to Eagles coach Nick Sirianni. Inked a big extension today. We knew it was going to happen. Not breaking news, but Nick Sirianni getting a 4-year extension to be the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Well-deserved, and has done an incredible job. And this year, Nick Sirianni, proved a lot of us wrong, proved me wrong. I jumped off after the Browns game, the weird press conference stuff. I thought it was too much. I thought he was overwhelmed. He knew exactly what he was doing. And Nick Sirianni, I thought, did a brilliant job this year managing personalities on that team more than anything else. And I think that's going to be a part of his job that's going to be really important this year as well. But good move for the Eagles. They ink Nick up. He will be the head coach for a long time here. So Nick Sirianni signs an extension. And this week, a very interesting couple days coming up for the Eagles. The Tush Push will be voted on, discussed and voted on over the next couple days. I'll be on this exact same time the next two nights. Sure, we'll talk about it a lot more then. But hopefully the NFL doesn't cave into the babies, doesn't cave into the cowards out there, and hopefully this play stays.
They're going to cave in.
I think they will.
Roger Goodell wants it gone. They're going to get it.
They're all pathetic. They're all losers.
It's such a joke.
It's embarrassing. 215-592-9494. In a minute here, we will get to an interesting Sixers rumor in what they could do this offseason. But first, let's go back to the phones. Go to JT in Westchester. What's up, JT?
Hey, Dom, thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
First time caller, long time listener. But, I mean, I typically don't call in because I feel like a lot of what I think is, you know, just opinions. But the one thing that is not an opinion, it's just fact, is that Alvarado tested positive for artificial testosterone. I don't see how that could possibly, like, have anything to do with a weight loss drug. Like, the thing that really kind of got me, I don't know, not fired up, but made me inclined to call was the one caller earlier just trying to talk about, Ozempic this, weight loss drug that. I'm like, if he tested positive for artificial testosterone, okay, first of all, what over-the-counter or even prescription weight loss drug is testosterone going to be present in? And then if he did test positive for that, why is he not asking somebody about this? Well, like, you guys had the conversation earlier about how literally, he probably could have sent a text to anybody at the organization, and they immediately would have responded with the big X saying, no, you cannot take that, and problem would have been avoided. Like, yeah. I think it's just something that's selfish, and, like, I don't necessarily agree with most of the people who are defending
him. No, JT, that's the most frustrating thing is, yeah, I mean, he doesn't even need to leave his house. I mean, he just needs to send them a text, let them know what he's taking, and they'll tell him immediately whether he can take it or whether he can't. And as far as the other stuff, like the testosterone levels, whether it has to deal with the weight loss drug or not, I have no clue, honestly. I am oblivious to all this stuff. So I don't know any of that. But like you said, this is very black and white. Like, there are lists of substances that are banned. This was something that was banned. You don't take it. And, I mean, to me, there's no leeway for Jose Alvarado on this. And, I mean, he's a popular player. He's a nice guy. It stinks. But he was wrong, and the punishment is deserved.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it is black and white like that. And, I don't know, at the end of the day, like, of course, you know, nice guy, and I can't speak, like you said, to, you know, what the testosterone has to do with anything or what specifically it was, but, like, just feels like an overall selfish thing, and I just figured I wanted to throw that out there.
No, yeah, JT, and appreciate your call, man. Thanks. And, yeah, I that's the way I feel about it, too. And I'm really mad at Jose Alvarado. I'm not going to lie. I mean, this is something that, again, there's no excuse for. There is absolutely no excuse for why he cannot ask. Like, it's as simple as asking a question. You don't need to get off your couch. You don't even need to make a phone call. You send a text message. You don't even need to type a letter. You take a picture of the bottle. You send them the picture. And they will respond immediately saying, yes, you can take it. No, you can't take it. He didn't do that. And the fact that he didn't do that makes me feel like he was trying to get one over or something like that. It just doesn't add up, and there's no excuse. And for anybody to be making excuses for Jose Alvarado or taking Alvarado's side on this, I don't get it. Like, I don't get it. There's no excuse.
I really don't get it either. I mean, this, whatever hotline, whatever person to text, I'm sure it's made very apparent to every single player, because it's not even just for, like, a weight loss medication. For any medication, any type of medicine you need to take, I'm sure there's guys that have to take some kind of daily supplement every single day for something. And I'm sure they had to get it cleared by whatever team, doctor, team nutritionist there. But the thing that really has been, at least that stuck out to me since I've heard him say it, is John Kruk talk about how it's just selfish of him. Because I'm sure from Kruk, I'm sure many of the players feel the same way.
Because,
I mean, he's a player's player. He's a baseball guy's baseball guy. I mean, he gets it. He understands it. He can go into that locker room right now and just, you know, talk about anything with any guy in there. He would understand them. He understands the minds of these guys. So I'm sure he's not alone in thinking that Alvarado was selfish in this. Harper didn't say it outright, but I'm sure he has those same kind of thoughts. I'm sure Castellanos does. I'm sure all these guys
do. And who knows what they think, but I would agree. Like, I think it's selfish personally, and it's really frustrating because it really hurt the team. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. But I did want to touch on an interesting Sixers rumor that came out today, and this was from Jonathan Givony, who is a draft expert for ESPN. And obviously, Sixers are in a really interesting position now with the third overall pick. And this was Jonathan Givony's report. He said, some teams expect the Sixers to be active in trade conversations with names such as Kevin Durant and Lauri Markkanen as potential targets in packages that could include Paul George and the number three pick. Sixers president of basketball operations Daryl Morey has made a career of being active and aggressive on the trade front, but historically, it's rare to see a top three pick being traded. And I will just say this right now in regards to this rumor. I am begging the Sixers. I am begging the Sixers they go into this offseason not to do this. And I've seen rumors about, could you trade Paul George, the number three pick? I've seen people mention Giannis. That's a different situation. Like, I do that. You're not getting Giannis. Like, that's pipe dream world. Daryl Morey can call. He can call Milwaukee. He can try to get Giannis. The Bucks are not trading Giannis here. They will get better offers from somebody else for Giannis than the Sixers can offer. If the Bucks trade Giannis Antetokounmpo to the Sixers for Paul George and the number three pick, their GM should be fired on the spot. That would be a brutal move. That is not happening. That's a different situation, though. But the Sixers, you know, we talk about number three and Paul George for either Durant or Markkanen, insert whatever veteran player you want out there. This is what the Sixers need to do. They desperately need to come to reality this offseason. And the reality is, and I know it's going to be difficult for people to hear, you're not winning anything next year, okay? It's not happening. And the Sixers, as they go into this offseason, they have two choices. They can fool themselves into thinking that they can compete next year with Joel Embiid, and they can compete for a championship, or you can come to the reality that this is not going to work, and you got to build for 2 to 3 years down the road. And I am just pleading for them, for one time, just do the right thing. Do the right thing and realize it didn't work, man. The Embiid extension, the Paul George move, you going in on these guys, it failed. It was a failure. The Joel Embiid era was a complete and total failure. And the quicker the Sixers come to that reality and start to deal in that world, the better off we will all be. Because continuing to double and triple down on just the hope that maybe this year is the year he stays somewhat healthy, and maybe Paul George gives a damn this year, it's not going to work. And I am just pleading for them to do the right thing. Because as much as I wanted to get the first pick, let's be real here. The Sixers got lucky in getting three. Like, you got a real asset, finally, where you had nothing. It could have been a lot worse. Like, yeah, we're watching a week ago at this time. I wanted Cooper Flagg, too. But the reality is, it could have been a hell of a lot worse. You could have ended up with no pick. This year of tanking and being awful could have been for absolutely nothing. So at least you got a real asset out of it. You cannot throw it away. You just can't. And I love Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is one of my favorite players in the league. He has been one of my favorite players for a long time. But he's older. He gets hurt a lot. You look at the Kevin Durant experience the last few years, whether he's been in Phoenix, whether he's been in Brooklyn, it has not worked out well for any of those teams. It's not going to work with Joel Embiid, and you need to start looking at the future. Until the Sixers do that, until they start realizing that, hey, we are not going to win a championship with this core, you're just going to keep doubling down on bad mistakes. And you look at the Paul George thing. To me, this would be another example of that, where last offseason, that's what the Sixers should have done then. They should have said, okay, this Embiid situation, it's not going to work. We need to start building for the future now. We need to start looking toward the future now. What did they do? They went out. They felt like, well, we need to try to maximize whatever years left we have of Embiid. So they signed Paul George for $212 million over 5 years. That was an awful move. Doing this and trading the number three pick, trading the one real asset that you have, it would be a monumental mistake. You can't do it. And I just get frustrated when I see reports, and this was Sam Vecenie, who's an NBA reporter, saying, well, the Sixers and Daryl Morey and Elton Brand, these guys, they feel a desire to keep their jobs. That's when organizations make mistakes. And I'm just begging on behalf of the fans, do the right thing. The Embiid-Paul George era is not going to end in a fairy tale. It's not going to end with the Sixers winning the championship. If you trade the number three pick and you bring in Kevin Durant or Markin and whoever, you're just going to end up either, you know, having a year like this year where you'll make the playoffs and you'll go out in the first round. It's not going to work. What the Sixers need to do, they need to start looking 2 to 3 years down the road, 5 years down the road, whatever it is. And I get that's not the fun thing to do. I understand we trade for Kevin Durant and be all excited here for a few days. It's not going to work out. And the Sixers, they need to build for the future. And I want to get your take on that. Do you think the Sixers should try to maximize next year or look toward the future? I just think you need to look beyond. And until they do that, it's just going to keep setting this organization back. And to get the third pick and to essentially, you know, cash it in now in an era that just is dead. Like, the Embiid era is done. It's finished. You cannot continue to go down this road. You need to admit it's over, and you need to start building for the future. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to John in Lancaster. What's up, John?
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
Good.
Hey,
how are you?
Well, not too bad. Hey, Suarez, you know, when we first started saying that, I thought that sounds like a good idea. And I was just thinking, he's had those back issues, and I don't know, because I don't know the answer. You know, the up and down, the constant movement. I mean, he's any other pitcher, they get in these routines. And if you ever had back trouble, you know that, like, getting out of routine aggravates that. So I wonder if they try this, he aggravates his back, so then we're down a starter and a reliever.
Yeah, John, that's fair. And that's the thing is, I don't, like, I'm not going to lie, I'm grasping at straws a little bit. I don't know what the Phillies do. I just feel like they need to do something. I mean, I don't think with the guys you have in your bullpen, I don't think you can survive until late July, even if at that point you're able to get a difference-making reliever or two. With your bullpen in the state it's in right now, I don't think you can survive till then, especially in this division and in the National League. The National League's really good, and you can't afford to be giving games away regularly with your bullpen.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I try to look for an upside in these types of things, and I just don't see it because, you know, you get to the trade deadline, Phillies are going to trade from a pretty weak position here. They desperately need somebody. But, you know, a lot of these people are going to want these young arms that we have. You know, we end up giving somebody away to go for a World Series with this core because the time's running out. The clock's ticking. So I just think this whole thing with Alvarado is there's really not much, there's no upside at all, and it's really put the Phillies in a bad position.
No, absolutely it has, John. And you look at the standings now where the Phillies are, they're only 2.5 games clear of the Cardinals and Diamondbacks, who are outside the wild card race. So you look at it, and I know they were talking about this in the afternoon show today, like if the Phillies didn't have Alvarado for the first 6-7 weeks of the season, they're probably, what, like 3 games worse? So you project that moving forward. This is just a monster loss. Now, it's obviously a real positive that Romano's pitching better. That's huge. I mean, if Romano is still struggling, that would be a huge concern at this point. But, I mean, really, besides Strom and Romano, there's not a lot you feel great about out there.
Yeah, and just one more thing. I'm with you on the Sixers. I think they gotta see the situation for what it is, use that pick right, and give the fans some hope.
Yeah, no, I hear you, John, and appreciate your call, man. Thanks a lot. And this is the thing. Like, I understand from a fan perspective, you want to keep pushing your chips in. And I even get, you look around the Eastern Conference and you look around the landscape, you can try to convince yourself that you can contend next year. I mean, Jason Tatum is probably going to miss, if not the entire season, the majority of the season. Milwaukee's a mess. They're probably going to end up trading Giannis this offseason. The teams you're looking at that are clearly in front of you, it's probably, what, just the Pacers and the Knicks? I mean, the Cavaliers, nobody's going to take them seriously again after this year. I mean, they have this incredible regular season, but very predictably, they are just not a team that's built to win in the playoffs. So I get, from that standpoint, why you'd want to push in and give it one more shot, but I'm not going to trade the one good asset I have for 1 year of one shot with Embiid, and whether it's Paul George, whether it's Kevin Durant, I know it's not going to work. I know it's not going to work with Embiid. The Sixers need to come to reality, and I'm just pleading with them to do the right thing.
Kevin Durant,
for one time, do the right thing.
Kevin Durant is still on a massive contract, too. It's not like his contract is that much better than Paul George's or Embiid's if they were to trade Paul George. I mean, yes, he's a much better player, and I love Kevin Durant. He's, like you said, for me, he's one of my favorite players of all time, too. Just watching him score in those Oklahoma City and even the Golden State Warriors days, unbelievable. So easy for him. But you have to start somewhat of a youth movement. Even if you keep Embiid and keep Paul George, you can't deal with them in the offseason or you can't deal with them in mid-season, if you use number 3, or even trade down a couple spots, whoever it is, you take the draft pick this year, Tyrese Maxey, Jared McCain, I hope they can retain Quentin Grimes, and that is a decent 4 to start with on some kind of a youth movement. All these teams left in the playoffs have great depth. The Pacers have great depth of guys they have developed themselves. The Knicks have signed a couple guys and traded for a couple guys, but it all started with their depth on how they really started to become a good team. Look at the Thunder. I mean, my God, you want a blueprint on how to, well, I guess the blueprint on how to, you know, build a team is just swindle the Clippers, trade them Paul George and get back SGA and just a boatload of picks, so maybe not that easy, but you need to have just a good foundation of younger guys, maybe not to build around, but if you can have that foundation and then bring in a real star a couple years down the line, you're in a much better spot than where you are now.
You just
run it back with Kevin Durant.
You just can't keep doubling down on the Joel Embiid era. Like, Joel
no,
Embiid,
you can't. It's what they've done for years.
The Joel Embiid era is a failure. And the quicker that everybody comes to realize that, the better off we'll all be. I mean, it sucks. I'm not going to tell you it's not disappointing. Of course it is. I had high hopes for this era of Sixers basketball as well, but it failed. And they got to come to that realization, continuing to double down, continue to try this. It would just be a bad idea, and it wouldn't work. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. When we get back, we will have leading off for you as we get you set for game one of the Phillies and Rockies 4-game series. That's coming up. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP.